You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into another edition of the Heart and Hustle podcast. Nick Gronowitz here. Scott Inez is with me. It's been a minute, but thanks for once again downloading, subscribing, rating, reviewing the whole thing as the Magic are in the NBA restart and the NBA playoffs. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter at Inez Says, A-N-E-Z-S-E-Z is where you can find Scotty. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at GetNickG. The Twitter account has changed at GetNickG. Is where you can find us. All right, let's start with the Magic, and then we'll see what else we can get to, even though normally we talk 15 minutes on the Magic, and then we're done. They play the Milwaukee Bucks on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm trying here, man. I'm trying to stay optimistic.
Put those pom-poms on, Nicky Football. Come on, you
so
can do it.
The only optimistic thing I can come up with is the way you shot the ball against the New Orleans Pelicans team, which, by the way, fired their coach 24 hours later, against the Pelicans team. If you can come out and shoot the ball like that, and this sounds like Captain Obvious, but when the ball is going through the hoop for the Magic, they're kind of a sneaky, frisky team.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all
for you
got for me, huh? Look, do the Magic have a chance to beat the Bucks in this series? I mean, I guess they have a chance to beat the Bucks.
They're going
to
play.
But let's tell it like it is. It's a minuscule chance.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is. But I will say this. There will be some things that happen in these playoffs that you go, wait a minute here. That doesn't usually happen in NBA playoffs, but because of the nature of the strangeness of it all, the bubble here in Orlando, no fans, being away from families, it's 2020. You know some bizarro things are going to happen come playoff time. Do I think the Magic will beat the Bucks in this series? I'd be nuts to say yes, and I think anybody would, with the exception of those guys in that Magic locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think the Bucks will win 4-0? No, I do not. I think the Magic have an opportunity to take one, maybe 2 games in
you
this
set
series.
Set me over under one half or one
half. in my world, it would be 1.5.
Okay,
how about that?
I set
world,
it at
a half
last week, and I took the slider. I think they get one game.
A number of things have to happen in order for the Magic to have a chance in this series. Number one, you have to shoot the lights out. Are the Magic capable of doing that? We've seen here in the second half of the season, in some of these seeding games, especially early, that this team is very capable of shooting the lights out.
You go, the first game against Brooklyn, the second game against Sacramento, up until Jonathan Isaac blew his knee out.
Yep.
And then this past game against New Orleans. Yeah, in 3 of the 8 games.
Yeah.
Not quite 50%. Three of the 8 games, this team shot the ball and shot it well. And I think it starts with Markelle Fultz at the point guard position. I really do.
It very well could.
They started him in that game against New Orleans. For whatever the reason is, and you and I have talked about this a lot, when he starts at the point, that offense just runs better. And
it
I
does.
Don't know why.
It does.
And I'm a DJ guy.
I am too. But you mentioned DJ Augustine.
I like DJ.
I think DJ Augustine, like he was in last year's playoffs against Toronto, I think DJ is going to be a key guy. And remember, it was DJ who hit that key 3-point shot from the top of the key late against Toronto in game one to send those fans home very quietly in Toronto. I think DJ is going to be a key guy. But I mentioned DJ hitting a 3-point shot. 3-point shooting in this series is going to be a must for the Orlando Magic because the Milwaukee Bucks, they're kind of old school in terms of their defense. Like they don't switch a lot defensively, and their key is they don't give up a lot at the hoop, which is contrary to what the entire league is doing right now defensively. What they will do at times is give you open 3-point shots. And it's going to be incumbent upon the Orlando Magic. They're going to get their looks. Can they knock them down consistently in this series? I think they can do it for a 1 to 2 game span. Can they do it for 4 games? I doubt it, but they're going to get their looks throughout this series, Nick.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. They're gamblers. That's what the Milwaukee Bucks are. Yeah. They're going to let you get some of those, and I don't think it's going to be about your Terrence Ross's. He's going to get his. I think T. Ross, if you leave him open, he's going to get his. Can Aaron Gordon shoot a good enough percentage for this series? And the health of Aaron Gordon is a real question going in on Tuesday against the Milwaukee Bucks. He participated in practice over the weekend, Steve Clifford said, but they didn't scrimmage. AG, I think, is kind of the key for this series for Orlando because there's no Jonathan Isaac. Michael Carter-Williams is listed as doubtful. They're going to need Aaron Gordon to be as good as he can possibly be.
Yeah, you must have read my mind. Aaron Gordon is a big, big key in this series, especially without Jonathan Isaac. He is going to have to be in charge of trying to frustrate Giannis Antetokounmpo. And quite frankly, we have seen in these bubble games Giannis being frustrated to the point where, you know, he's headbutting opponents and he's being kicked out of
what
games.
What is that about?
I have no clue.
My goodness.
But the Bucks go 3-5 in these bubble games, Nick. Keep in mind, they're not playing their best basketball coming into this series. So I'm trying to put my pom-poms on as much as I possibly can. But the Bucks' offense is predicated on Giannis Antetokounmpo. We all know that. And if teams are going to give him twos, He's going to bury you. It is up to Aaron Gordon to try to frustrate him at that point because you know what the Bucks do. They play Giannis and basically 4 or 5 out. That's what they do. But this 5-out game plan that the Bucks have, they have 4 other guys on the court at the same time who all can shoot the 3 effectively, even their centers, the Lopez brothers. So, yes, Giannis is great. And if you send a double team at him, guess what? He's going to find one of those open guys who's going to knock down a 3. It is vital in this series that not only Aaron Gordon, there will be other guys that guard Giannis Antetokounmpo, but Aaron will be the main guy. It is vital for Aaron to try to frustrate Giannis Antetokounmpo to the point where he wants to headbutt him during a game.
I don't know if Aaron has that in him. Is Aaron that kind of a... I don't know if Aaron is that kind of a defender where he is going to get under your skin. Aaron is a good defender.
Yeah.
He's a very good individual defender.
Yeah.
But he's not an instigator.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, he's not a Matt Barnes. He's not a Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
He's not Pat Beverly. If Aaron Gordon could just steal the attitude of Patrick Beverly for one series where he's going to kind of get in your skin, get up in your jersey, I would believe everything you're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Aaron is really quite that guy. If I'm Steve Clifford, I'm going to Aaron Gordon. I'm saying, hey, if he punches you,
that's the key.
You're doing your job.
That's the key.
You frustrate him until he starts speaking in Greek again.
That's what you have to do. That's the key. Coach Clifford is the key here. You've got to get an Aaron here.
Yeah.
Day after day after day.
Pretend he's Kyle Lowry.
Plays. Exactly.
That's another guy. Kyle Lowry's another guy.
Exactly. And let's see the edge that Aaron Gordon showed when Kyle Lowry basically victimized Aaron Gordon and sent him to the injured list for at least a couple of games during these bubble games.
Did you hear the rumor that Aaron Gordon went to his room?
I did not hear that.
That was a rumor last week.
Oh, it's been unconfirmed. Good.
Well, the rumor is Aaron Gordon went to a room. He went to the wrong room, actually.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's the rumor. Now, I talked to Wes Iwundu last week on the Down the Road podcast, and Wes,
by the way, Wes has that edge about him.
Yes.
And Wes will see some of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's given up a lot of size there.
No doubt.
He's given a lot of size.
Everybody told me
the foul was dirty. Wes told me unequivocally he said it was a dirty foul.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's what Kyle Lowry does, and he's done it for years, and the NBA continues to look the other way on Lowry. It's absolutely amazing. So you're right. Aaron Gordon is going to have to try to frustrate Giannis Antetokounmpo. Does he have it in him for 5, 6, 7 games in a series? Quite frankly, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer to that question is. But, I mentioned the Toronto series last year, and even though you lose that series to the eventual champions 4-1, the Magic, I think, developed a familiarity with playoff basketball in that series.
Oh, of course.
So they know what to expect now. You know, they know what to expect. They went up against Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam in that series. And for the most part, through those 5 games, maybe with the exception of Game 5, in Toronto, for the most part, they competed and competed hard. There was a resolve that they developed.
You and I were at Game 3, and they had that comeback in the second half, remember? And Came up short. Game four, same thing, was a close game, I think, in the first half. Yeah, they just let go of the rope in that game five.
Yeah, a lot of Magic players now, like an Aaron Gordon, a Nikola Vucevic, to a certain extent, a DJ Augustine, who did have some playoff experience going into that Toronto series. You have, these guys, Evan Fournier is another guy. They saw that the extra gear or gears that you have to put in place in order to compete at the highest level. Now, what will these playoffs look like? That's another question. Mm. You don't really know. You know what playoff basketball is going to look like in a conventional playoff season.
Right.
Now, there's no home court advantage either way. There's no home crowd. We all knew how loud that crowd was in Orlando for games 3 and 4 last year, how raucous the crowd was in Toronto last year for games 1, 2, and 5. You're not going to get that now.
No.
So
the seating really didn't matter.
You know it's going to rise a level or two or three, but what gear is the playoffs actually going to be in once you start them, because it's so different now?
Well, I think we saw over the weekend in that Portland-Memphis play-in game, which fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Adam Silver and the NBA for putting on a very successful play-in tournament. I thought that it was going to be a little finicky, a little gimmicky when they rolled out the plans. Oh, wait a minute, if they're inside of four games or whatever, how's this going to look? It looked fantastic, especially with the way that Phoenix played, going 8-0. Wow, 8-0 Phoenix went. But that game with Portland and Memphis and Ja Morant going for 30-something and Lillard and the McCollum shot, We've seen that the drama and the intensity, bodies were hitting the floor on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we know that they are going to be intense. But you're right, role players tend to play better at home. There's a reason why. And that's why I think the play of the role players, not the stars, is going to end up being the focus of all of these playoffs.
Yeah.
A DJ Augustine, a Michael Carter Williams when he comes back. I look at Milwaukee. Dante DiVincenzo, someone like that, one of those Lopez brothers. Chris Middleton, who is a star player, but I don't know if quite he carries himself with that star mentality. You know, the Lakers, Danny Green is going, Kyle Kuzma, those types of guys in those first round series. I think that's an interesting question as we move forward with this, and how is it, you know, is it going to have a positive effect on the Houston Rockets, who are choking dogs in the playoffs because they can feel the crowd
feel
pushing
the pressure.
In.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How about that series? Get Oklahoma City, Houston.
That's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be fun. But you're absolutely right. Come playoff time, and I've been following the NBA playoffs for a long time, and I've talked to you about the playoffs for a long time as well. And you got a taste of it last year here in Orlando.
Yes.
The crowd was unbelievable. The level of play, every possession is huge. So I'm interested to see in where that level is this year, knowing there is no crowd there in the Disney bubble. One more thing, and I know you got to go. The Milwaukee Bucks.
Time is just a construct.
And here we go with the whole, okay, playoff start. The Bucks went 3-5 in the bubble, Nick, in these seeding games.
Yeah.
Did not play overly well.
No, they didn't.
And I do wonder, does that continue against the Orlando Magic? I mean, you lose to a Nets team that was without Caris LeVert, without Jared Allen.
19.5-point favorite. Biggest upset in NBA history in that game.
Right. That's not the Milwaukee Bucks that we've known over the last 2 years.
Right.
With Giannis Antetokounmpo there. They still finished with 56 wins on the season. But this was not the same Milwaukee team that we saw prior to the pandemic. We saw frustrated Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? So I think if you're a Magic fan, you're hoping that the strangest of the bubble factors into this equation
here.
He
also didn't play in that final game either. He was suspended. So now you've got Giannis coming off of a layoff. Yeah. I don't know what that means. I'm just throwing that out there as maybe something else working for you. Maybe he's out of rhythm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Then again, he only played like 30 minutes a game.
It's up to the Orlando Magic to do exactly what they did in game one against Toronto last year. Plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Plant the seed of doubt. Because what was the knock on the Toronto Raptors going into the playoffs last year? Right? Big-time chokers, at least in the Eastern Conference. Right? You got Houston over in the West. Big-time chokers can't win a playoff series, can't beat LeBron, can't do this, can't do that. They showed us otherwise in winning the NBA championship. But do the same thing with the Milwaukee Bucks, because you know their frame of mind is not right going into this series. And if you can plant that seed early in a game one, steal a game one, maybe you've got a chance to win a couple, maybe three, or who knows what happens in the strangeness of this playoff season.
Maybe you do. What's your prediction?
I
got to turn it to you now, right? What's your prediction?
Yeah, if you're asking me to be objective reporter, Inez says...
No one's asking that.
Bucks win the series 4-1. What am I hoping for?
5 games. Okay.
I'm hoping for a magic win 4-3, but I it's likely not to happen.
I got to follow up one question then, because time is just a construct.
Yeah.
So let's say it's a 5-game series. You lose to Milwaukee. Mm. What do you call this magic season? Successful, unsuccessful?
Wow.
I said last week it's an unsuccessful season.
Anytime you lose in the first round, it's going to be an unsuccessful season.
Didn't take steps that we wanted them to take this
year.
A lot of injuries.
No, there you go.
Al Farouq Aminu.
That's it.
You didn't have him the entire year. Jonathan Isaac, you basically didn't have him for the entire year. But even guys like Aaron Gordon had a down year, right? Terrence Ross didn't have the year he had last year. Evan Fournier had a really good individual season. Nick
injuries,
Vucevic.
Injuries.
Just Nikola such Vucevic, a weird year.
Injuries. It was a weird year with injuries. As much luck as the Orlando Magic had last year in terms of the injuries, not missing a whole lot of player games due to major injuries, this year was exactly the opposite. I know it's such a long time ago that we're looking at last season, but, I mean, you look at all the guys who suffered injuries to major injuries, there are at least a handful. I mean, everybody has basically been injured this season. So I think if you were to ask Jeff Weltman that question, he'd probably deem it as unsuccessful, but you have to factor in the injuries last year, something that did not happen to him last year.
Yeah, good point. It's a good point, man. Listen, I mean, this thing gets started on Tuesday. That's going to do it for us here on the Heart and Hustle podcast. He is Scott Inez. I'm Nick Grunowitz. You can follow Scotty on Twitter at Inez Says, A-N-E-Z-S-E-Z. You can follow me at GetNickG, at GetNickG on Twitter. We'll be tweeting throughout the games, of course, for the latest on your Orlando Magic. For Scott, I'm Nick. We'll talk to you a little later this week here on the Heart and Hustle Pod.